this morning.
Appreciate all that he has done for us in these days. And I am so appreciative to the church for and Brother Hyatt for inviting us to come to this meeting. I need to say something real quickly before I read my text. I watched the ladies working together out in the fellowship hall yesterday, and you look like you'd been doing it for years. And I appreciate all the labor that's went in and all that you have done out there, and what a blessing it's been to our hearts in these days of meeting. I appreciate the fact that God does not change.
Amen.
I told Brother Ken last night on the way to the hotel, I said, I sure hate to have to follow those two messages last night. But I'm not in a competition because I'm just called to preach, Brother Larry. I've been in churches and been in meetings where it was a competition. And it won't take you very long to realize that I'm not much of a preacher, and if the Holy Ghost don't come upon me, there won't be nothing said. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I begin reading in verse number 1. If you found your place, you can stand in honor and reverence to the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1. He said, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. That thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest down in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee in the land which he sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou build us not." Father, I thank you, Lord, for the portion of Scripture you've directed our hearts to this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, I cast myself at your feet, asking, Lord, to be used to you. God, I realize, God, that I can do nothing within myself. I need your help. I pray, God, that you would quiet our nerves, and God, help us, Lord, to say something that would be a help to this thy people. Speak to every heart that's in this place, and I pray, revive the hearts of your children. Stir up your saints. And oh, God, I pray, Lord, if there be one in our midst that don't know you this morning, may the word of God find its way to where they're at tonight and there today, and help them, Lord, I pray. Minister now in every heart, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you for all that you do, for we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm preaching this morning for a little while on the simple little thought, a new beginning. I'm glad, thank God, the Lord specializes in giving people a new beginning. I'm glad, thank God, as these Hebrews had come out of Egypt and for 400 years, generation after generation, had died as slaves down in Egypt. Thank God, working for the taskmaster and unable, oppressed, and unable to go and to do... what the Lord would have them to do. But I'm glad one day God sent a deliverer down yonder into the land. And thank God, I'm glad that He brought them out. Ain't you glad? Thank God one day you heard that God had sent you a deliverer. And I bless His name. I'm glad, thank God, Brother Larry, He does not change. The song that they were singing a minute ago, I said, He's still the same. Can I say, thank God this morning, I'm glad I've got a God that changes not. He is very much the same as He always has been. Yes. It was several years ago in this country, down in this area where I come as a young preacher boy and sit and I heard him call on a preacher and he came to behind the pulpit and he made this statement, and it's rung in my ears for the last 20 years, Brother Ken. He said, God hears the scraping in the bottom of your barrel. Thank God. And I'm glad this morning that God does not change. He's still a God that hears what's going on in your life. He's still a God that sees what's going on in mine and your life.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us. And here the nation of Israel was, after all those years of wandering, God's fixing to carry them in. Amen. And He's instructing them before they make their next move. I'd say it do you and I good to wait for God's instruction before we make a move. Oh, God help us. And notice He did not give them, Brother Larry, a suggestion. But He gave them a commandment. And He said, this is what I want you to do. Oh, God help us. We've come to a day and an hour when people think the words of God are suggestions. Oh, God help us. But thank God, God commanded His people. Amen. And can I say this morning, I understand what they're talking about when they say go share the gospel. But thank God I didn't come to share the gospel. I come to declare the gospel. I thank God for God has not changed His message nor His means. And God had a plan for these people. Amen. Ain't you glad God's got a plan for you, man, in your life? Oh, help us, Lord. And as I begin to think on this text and how God's wanting them to rehearse it into the hearts of their children and get it into them, I thank God I got to thinking about it. I thank God my shortcomings in raising my children and not keeping the Word of God in front of them like I ought to. Notice He said, I want you. I thank God, hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, two times. He said, hear. I thank God, I would to God that we could start listening again. Oh, God, help us. Before He ever tells them what to say to those children, twice He says, you need to listen up. Oh, I think about sometimes the times that I've spoken, maybe out of turn. I've said things maybe off the cuff. But He said, hear, O Israel, listen up. I want you to get this into the hearts of your children. Several months ago, me and my brother, oldest brother, was having a conversation and he made this statement to me, and it's been ringing in my ears ever since, Brother Larry. He said, my girls have come through high school and they've went through college, and both of them have chosen professions. One of them's a physical therapist and another one's a school teacher. And he said, everybody at the church tells me you ought to be proud of your children. Look how successful your children are. He said, I'll determine that after I see how they're raising my grandchildren. He said, if they do not teach them what I've taught them, then I've not got much to be proud of. Oh, God help us. Notice here, he says here twice, and then I thank God he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Verse 4 says, our Lord, the Lord our God is one Lord. Can I say there's no division in the Godhead this morning? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are all working in perfect unison and in perfect harmony. And but the problem is in us. And he said, I want that same unity that's in the Godhead to be in the hearts of the children of Israel. He said, I want you to love Him with your heart, love Him with your soul, and love Him with all your might. Now, when the Lord quoted that in the New Testament, He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. Ain't that right? Oh, God help us. I wonder if you really love the Lord like you say you do. Now, you'll never do any good trying to get it to your children if you ain't got it in your own heart. See, that's the problem and the product of our society. Our children are mimicking us and looking like us, and we wonder why we've raised a generation of hypocrites.
That's right.
Preacher said it well last night. It don't matter how good you shout or how much you leap. I thank God here is how straight you walk down yonder. Oh, God help us. I'm fixing to preach. Bear with me just a minute. I'm getting there. Amen. And there's a need in this day, Brother Larry, for us to live in front of our children and our grandchildren, I thank God, this old time way. I wonder, Mama, if them little girls talked like you did, what they would say. I wonder, Daddy, if those little boys took up your habits. Now, I know I'm in North Carolina. I'm keenly aware where I'm at. And but in our country, everybody thinks it's okay to either smoke or dip. Don't quit me now. I know I'm in the tobacco belt, but it used to be a Bible belt. Amen. And you're looking at somebody that's hung a mini stick of backer in my life. God bless your heart. I know I've had backer on the inside and the outside. I know what I'm talking about. And I remember as about a 16-year-old boy, I smarted off at my mama, and she whooped me through the backer field with a stalk of tobacco. And then she whooped me because I cost her money. Amen. You think I'm a joking, but I can give you her phone number. She'll testify. Amen. But I noticed those boys, those young boys, they're looking at those so-called saints on the sidewalk after service.
Right.
And if the saints on the sidewalk are smoking, I had no idea this is where I was going, but I'm here. And they offered up in burnt sacrifices on the sidewalk. Oh, God help. And I got to thinking what a bad testimony that is in front of young folk. Amen. Them old preachers, Brother Ken told me, them old mountain preachers used to preach, walk right, talk right, and spit white.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Oh, God help us. We think it's cool. You teenagers think it's cool to get that can and put it in your pocket. I can take you and show you my first cousin whose face is rotted off with cancer, and you'd change your tune. I'm talking about teaching your children. Teaching your children. Notice what he says. He said, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. The reason we can't get them in our children's heart is many times they're not really in our heart. David said, his word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Ain't that what he said? There's some things that ought to be hidden in your heart. The word of God ought to be hidden in your heart. The Lord ought to be down in there. And another place over there, he said, he talks about the hidden man of the heart. How he's to be adorned. Amen. That hidden man ought to be adorned because of the man that's living in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, thank God, God will make a change in you.
Yeah.
Now, here these Hebrews are. They're raised up slaves. All they know is the slave life. And God's trying to carry them into a life of victory, but they got all that baggage with them. They got all that luggage with them that they're carrying around. That baggage of their past that's weighting them down. And it's discouraging them. And it's a stumbling block to them. Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Notice what he says in verse number 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. He said you need to teach them diligently. In other words, it's not just a Sunday morning thing.
Amen.
I'm so tired of hearing about the divorce rate in our Baptist churches just as high as it is in the world, Brother Larry. I'm tired of seeing little boys and girls come through the churches and they get up to 18-year-old and they move out of their parents' house and you never see them in the house of God again. We have failed somewhere to get the Word of God and to teach it diligently to them and get it in their heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, God help us. Now, he says, thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. That's about a thing of the past. I was in a restaurant several months ago. Me and my wife had went out on a date. I recommend that. And we were dating, and I took her down to the Cracker Barrel. And we were sitting there eating cornbread muffins and, amen, and fellowshipping and talking. And I looked over there, and there sat a mom and a daddy and three teenagers. And I thought, what a picture image of my own family. And I sit there and I kindly talked to her while I was watching them. And the whole time we were there, they kept playing with things. Mama wasn't talking to Daddy. She was too busy talking to somebody else. And Daddy was too busy talking to whatever he was doing on his apparatus to. Is anybody listening to me? I'm telling you, thank God, God help us in these days when even the family table ain't sacred anymore and you can't even communicate at the table. Oh, God help us. And we're teaching that to our children. I'm not against technology. I believe that you have to have it to work in different things. I've got one of them smartphones. They give me one at work. And I told them they'd have to give me an extra smart one because I didn't know how to operate the smart one. Amen. I need one that'll operate itself. And but you hear me. We've come to the place between the television and the internet and the telephones. And if it ain't, we were at a family picnic two Saturday nights ago. And we was out chundering and all the family there. And I saw people walking around in the park. And I said, what in the world are they doing? And my brother-in-law said, they're looking for Pokemon. I said, unto God, they better be looking for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Are you listening to me? How sad that we live in a country that's supposed to be the most intelligent country on the earth. And our children are walking around like morons.
You're right.
Looking for fictional characters. Help us, Lord. I'll tell you what you need to teach your kids. You need to teach them the Word of God. And then number two, you need to teach them to work.
That's right.
Amen. There's no telling what a young man would be worth in 10 years from now who knows how to work. Oh, yeah. And then you ought to teach your kids to bathe while you're there, too. Amen. Never seen such a mess in my life. And I try not to be judgmental, Brother Larry. I really do. But there's just something about somebody with that peanut butter mess in their hair. Makes me want to get a weed eater.
Amen.
You say, I know some good Christian folks. It's like, oh, help us, Lord. God ain't changed. It's still right, thank God, for a man to have short hair. Amen. It's still right for for a woman to let her grow. Amen. I know the women's liver's got a bullseye on my back too. But thank God, I'm glad one day after a while, God that has not changed is going to separate me from them. Amen. Now, just because you've got short hair and you're dressed right don't make you a Christian. See, I think we've come to the place in our churches, we've trained folks to function as church members without Christ in their heart. I see these. I saw a video several months ago, and they had 3- and 4-year-olds shouting, running the aisles. Don't quit on me. He told me 30 minutes. Brother Bagwell said when you hit a stump, back up and hit her again. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God, we've come to a place where we've trained children to function in the house of God with no God, no Holy Ghost. And then we wonder why when they're 16 years old, they rebel and you can't do nothing with them. Oh, God help us. Teenagers are crazy to start with. Amen. All teenagers, their brain goes on vacation for about 10 years or 8 years. Time they come to 13 to 18, 5 years, they all lose their mind. I never will forget my boy coming in there in the kitchen, Brother Hike. He was about 15, and he walked up and chest bumped me. And I backed up a step, and I done exactly what my daddy did. I balled up my fist. And I said, "What do you think you're doing?" And he said, "I'm a man now." I said, "Son, we've been down on them farms all of our lives." I said, "How many of them little old bull calves have you seen run out there and butt one of them bulls and try to push him around?" He said, "Several." I said, "How'd it work out for them?" I said, "There ain't but one bull in this pasture. There ain't but one man here, bless your heart. And thank God, if you may leave here crippled, but you're not leaving here on top." Amen. He backed up and he saw I was serious. He said, "I'm just playing, Dad." I said, "There's some things you don't play about. Amen. You mess a big bull, you'll get hooked." Amen. We need to teach our children some things. We need to keep the word. Now notice he said, "You're teaching them when you're sitting with them."
Yes, sir.
And talking. Amen. To them. That's how it's hard to talk to them when they're in their room with their television and you're in the living room with yours. Help us, Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in a time where the family's falling apart. You can expect it in the world. But how sad for Christian homes to be falling apart all around us. Can I say the best you do, you're going to have trouble. If you do everything right, Brother Larry, you'll still have trouble. But if you ain't making no effort to do nothing right, tickles me, they'll pull the kids out. I told Brother Ken the other day, I said, "The reason we don't have any young ladies learning to play the piano anymore, and learning to sing in the choir anymore, is because they're too busy playing volleyball and softball.
Go ahead.
It used to be the boys in the sports. But you know now the girls have got to travel in the travel leagues too. You know, we got to treat them equal. And while they're learning to play softball and volleyball, the churches are dying all around us because of the children are not being taught anything." He said, "Talk to them, teach them." I'm hurrying, Brother Hyde. He said, "Teach them when you're sitting with them. Teach them when you're walking with them." You know where I learned 90% of what I know about being a man? I learned it in the field beside my mom and daddy. My daddy'd come in and he'd tell me before he went to work, he'd say, "When you get off the school bus this evening, get you a sandwich, get your work clothes on. I'll be home at 4:00. We're going to the field." And when he pulled in the driveway at 4:15, you better be ready to go. I told him one day, I was about 16, I thought I was tough, and I said, "I'm going to school, I'm going to start a fight." And the biggest mistake I ever made in my life, because I won the fight, but I lost the war. And they sent me back home. after that little spell. I was lost now, by the way. You ought not be fighting, amen. But I got in that scuffle down at the schoolhouse. They sent me home. And I called my sister to come get me because I knew not to call Daddy. Because I was afraid he'd kill me at the school. And my sister come got me, and she pulled down in front of the driveway, and she said, "All right, get out." I said, "Ain't you going to take me up to the house?" She said, "Not on your life." I said, "Come on, sis, take me up to the house." She said, "No, no, no. This is as close as I'm getting to this." And I got out, and she went on. I remember walking in the house, and my daddy was sitting there in the kitchen. He said, "What are you doing home?" I said, "I got in a little scuffle down at the schoolhouse." And he said, "All right, get your clothes on." I went in there and got my work clothes on. And for the next 6 days, from daylight to dark, we cut multiflora roses off of the fence line, tore down the old fence, and put up a new one. And on Saturday evening at dark, he said, "Well, we've got a lot done this week." He said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do." He said, "Next Monday, go back down there and get in another scuffle. We'll get the whole place fenced before summer gets here." They want none of this. "Well, the principal's wrong and the teacher's wrong. And God help." They told me authority.
Right.
My mama told me and testified after I got grown. She said, "I knew the teachers was wrong sometimes, but I wasn't about to let you know it."
Amen.
Why? They was a teaching me authority.
Amen.
Oh, God help us. Well, he said, "Thou shalt bind them." He said, "Put them." He said, "When you lay down, when you raise up, everywhere you go with them, be talking about God. Be talking about the Word of God." He said, "Thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thy heart and thy frontlets." He said, "Put them on the doorpost of the house upon the gate." He said, "Everywhere they go, I want them finding the Word of God." This past Sunday, we was at a funeral. A precious old saint of God died in our community. And his grandson preached his funeral. And he asked his aunt before the service, said, Can I use Papaw's Bible to preach out of today?" We stood in the cemetery after the graveside, and he showed me his Papaw's Bible. His Papaw wasn't an educated man, but he was a prayer warrior.
Amen.
And he said, "Looky here." He marked that verse right there. And every once in a while he'd say, he knew that he told me when he was in the nursing home, said, "When I get gone," said, "I want you to read through my Bible." And he said, "Looky here." He said he'd turn to a place and he'd have a mark in it, and he'd have it in that scribbled up writing in red, "Read this." I thought, my goodness, he's already gone. He's in the grave, and he's still telling that boy, "Keep it in front of your eyes." Oh, how we're failing our children in these days. How we're failing them. But God wants to give us a new beginning. He's wanting to carry us into a new place. Ain't that right?
Yes, right?
He's wanting you to get beyond where you're at and go in deeper. He's wanting you to go on.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I like getting in there deep.
Amen.
I never did like to play around the edges. If I was deer hunting, I wanted to deer hunt. If I was fishing, I wanted to fish. If I'm going to church, I want to go to church.
Amen.
I just don't want to show up and go through the motions.
Amen.
I want my kids, I tell them all the time, I'm recording all my preaching, and I said, "When I'm dead and gone, I want you to go back and listen to it."
Yeah.
I said, "If there's any doubt what Daddy thought, go back and listen to it. Go back and listen one more time what Daddy thought."
Amen.
Amen. What the Word of God said.
Yeah.
And what He stood on. I'm going to tell you, we need some mamas and daddies that'll stand in these last days.
Yeah.
Quit bowing to every wind and doctrine.
Right.
Every little old new thing a coming. Just stand steadfast. Amen. I'm glad the Lord don't change. In a day when Christians are changing on every hand, He's not changed. He's not changed His mind about sin. Amen. He's not changed His mind about the plan of salvation. Still takes preaching. I know that puts me out with lots of people. But look up here at me. I don't care.
Right.
I'm glad, thank God, that morning. Thank God that God birthed me in, Brother Larry. I heard some preaching.
Amen.
in my past, I'd been hearing preaching, and that preaching got me under conviction.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. God's not changed his mind about salvation. He's still willing to save to the uttermost. If he saves somebody like me, he can save anybody. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad that the Lord gave me a new beginning.
Amen.
Put the Word of God in front of them. In a day when everybody's going to, now stay with me, in a day when everybody's going to plays and puppets.
Yeah.
Y'all notice how quiet it got right there? When they're going to skits. When they're going to games and gimmicks. I don't find anywhere where he told us to keep that in front of them.
Amen.
He said, keep the Word in front
of them.
Come on, but I don't know.